Shoot the Defence is brought to you by supertips.info, the football tips and statistics site for all your betting needs. Visit supertips.info and follow them on Twitter at supertips_365. That's at supertips_365.
Are you a big brain of the beautiful game? Prove it with the great new app that'll test your football knowledge to the limit. Name That Player. Download the Name That Player app today and race against the clock to identify the Premier League players purely from a list of the clubs they've played for. Put your football knowledge to the ultimate test with the Name That Player app. Available right now for iOS and Android from the App Store and Google Play. Name That Player. Can you beat the best?
Shoot the Defence, the best podcast in the world. We're at it.
Especially being a club legend, it's just totally disrespectful. And like I say, it's just a lack of respect, lack of class, and I hope they get relegated and liquidated.
Jan, do you want to do that voice of your barber so we can guess which nationality he is?
Are you ready?
Sounds like a really bad porno, mate.
And the fact that we had now taken our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable. And with very young players, so it was good.
Yeah, but I've seen misses like...
You but know, that wasn't a miss.
Misses, he stopped his mate from scoring it.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Defence. I'm your host, Dan, a.k.a. Double D, and you heard Leon Knight in the intro. It is the best podcast in the world. And this is the second episode of our new European roundup, our new section here on Shoot the Defence. And I am here with two guests again. You might as well say they're my co-presenters because they're going to be here with me most weeks. We've got a Shoot the Defence regular from the Premier League roundup, Yannick Ischay. How you doing, Yann?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. Just, you know, been watching a lot of Love Island, even though it's not that great this year, but I'm ready. Been watching a lot of football. I'm ready, man.
Oh,
ready,
God, bro. I never thought I hear, like, Love Island with Shoot the Defence, like, connected. So, yeah, look. Jeez, I'm trying to get away from that. I'm hearing you say it.
Yeah, you should be very, very, very happy. Man, though they went out overall. Man United beat Man City, which means Ollie's probably going to come and say something like, we've shown we can win the league next season with the fact we've beaten the champions.
Now City showed us respect because they played their full team against us.
And my other co-host is another man who's come a lot on Shoot the Defence, another man new fan as well, our guy out there in Spain. Oh, black Graham Hunter. Coach Coach, how you doing, man?
Did you just call me a black Graham Hunter?
Yeah, because you're our man out there in Spain. That's what they used to do with Mr. De La Liga, isn't it? our man out there in Spain, Graham Hunter.
Thanks for having me. I'm good, man. I'm good. Good to be back again, man. I love this show, so we're back in it. But you guys good?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, good, mate. All good.
All good, coach. You get me, so right. So, going to get started, guys. As you know, anyone who listens to last week, if it's your first time listening, we go through three or four of the leagues around Europe and a couple of the big games, just a little roundup and the main topics going in regards to things. So, we're going to start this week with the Eredivisie over in the Dutch league, because last week... before the end, I did ask you guys whether or not you think Alan Pardew and Chris Powell, the Ghostbusters, could keep up Ado Den Haag. But they got thumped 4-0 by Utrecht, which we kind of preempted last week, even though it was a mixed reaction on whether they could stay up or not. So now they've dropped back to 17th in the table. It's just nothing to get too concerned about, seeing as... obviously, a tractor fighting for Europe. Is this nothing really to worry about, or was this a big knock to the fact they could have carried some momentum?
I think so, but to be honest, when you lose 4-0, no matter who you play, you know, it's not good for your confidence, is it?
it just shows how much I know about football as well, because last week I said, yeah, they're going to stay up and they're going to do well, and then the following week they get fresh 4-0. So, maybe I should stop predicting and just, you know, pretend I don't know what I'm talking about, to be honest. But listen, sometimes when you play the big boys, I know, you know, Utrecht are not, you know, top of the league or things like that, but, yeah, you know, like you said, they're fighting for these European spots, and you know, they need the points as much as Den Haag do. Yeah. So, listen, what Pardew needs to do is just, you know, brush it under the table and get the boys kind of, you know, reunited and go again. That's what he's got to do. He's got to play like a percentage game where when they play like your AXs and your AZs think, you know what, we're not going to get nothing. But then when you play the lower teams, it's think, you know, these are the games that are going to keep us up. So it's a minor setback, but I think he'll be okay.
Definitely. Coach, what are you saying? Because I think you were kind of preempting the fact that Utrecht were going to give them a levering, didn't you?
Oh, well, yeah. Between the two of them, as massive as it is, but like, for me, that was just going to be another walk in the park, which it was. But they just need to beat the teams around them, man. That's the be-all and end-all of it. If they do that, then they'll be absolutely fine. Get the points against the teams that are around you. Win as many home games as possible, and then try and stay for yourself. And I don't think Pardew is someone that will actually struggle in that league, if I'm being honest. I think he can probably bring some players with him, maybe in January, or not in January now. So if they spend some money in the rest of the window quickly, or get some loans in or something, then he can find a way to help that team progress. But I wasn't expecting much from that game. I expected them to lose, so it is what it is.
Yeah. Right, in regards to the top of the Eredivisie, Ajax were beaten 2-1 by Groningen. We knew Ziyech and David Neres were out injured, but Andre Onana was out with a shoulder. Good diss me, sorry guys there. I muted myself by accident. now, in regards to the top of the Eredivisie, the leaders Ajax were beaten 2-1 by Groningen. Ziyech and Neres were out, and Andre Onana was out with a shoulder injury. So Bruno Varela started in goal, and he was somewhere at fault for the opening goal by Zerhus coming off his line, and basically he didn't deal with the ball properly. It rolled across the line for 1-0. In the second half, Lundqvist had a deflected shot going to make it 2-0 to Groningen. A late goal from Van der Beek for Ajax pulled it back to 2-1. But with Alkmaar playing on Friday against Waalwijk, and Ajax have PSV next, and the gap's now down to 3 points, is there any slight worries that injuries might discombobulate this title run for Ajax?
I wouldn't say injuries. I would say the shambolic defending that we saw on the weekend is what we're taking title. It was absolutely embarrassing, absolutely shocking. Martinez, and for the first goal, the second goal, two defenders chasing the ball chasing the ball that's going in the opposite direction. So again, that didn't even make sense. It's just comedic defending. But because they've got a better side than most teams, these losses within the league will happen here and there. Once Onana comes back and everyone's 100% fit, they'll get the results they need to. It's a bit of a rattle for their title challenge, but then is everyone else in that league consistent? I don't think so. So I don't think they'll struggle too much to find their feet again and keep going for their title charge.
Yeah, what do you think? And
I think Ajax haven't been as good as they were last year. Clearly, you know, De Ligt leaving has been a massive loss to them. I'm going to go with coach on this one. I just think the fact that the rest are not as good as Ajax, you know, will make a difference. And the fact that Ajax could lose maybe one, maybe two more games by the end of the season, but with the rest lose only one and two, I think AZ have got the potential to lose more games. You know, PSV are not the side that they were before, so Ajax will still win it. Like I said, they're not been great this season,
yeah.
But they still have enough to win the league for me.
Yeah, they probably will. But that is their 3 defeats this season have all come within their last 5 games. So that gap was quite big and it's just been narrowed week by week. But obviously they've lost a few players, but PSV all the way back in 5th. But could be a decent finish there in the Eredivisie. We will be keeping tabs on that. But now, and I know Coach is smiling already, let's go over to La Liga. And Coach actually rang me after this game on Saturday because his Valencia won 2-0 against Barcelona at the Mestalla. And to be perfectly honest, the result flattered Barcelona, to be perfectly honest. Maxi Gomez could have had a hat-trick. He missed a penalty in the first half. It was saved by Ter Stegen. And he also had another effort that Ter Stegen tipped onto the woodwork. Then in the second half, Gomez thought he'd given Valencia the lead, but the shot took a deflection off Jordi Alba and it was later on given as an own goal before a fine finish after great work by Ferran Torres setting him up, and he passed it from the edge of the box into the bottom corner for the second. Now, if it wasn't for Ter Stegen, this actually could have been 4 or 5. What did you see from Barcelona, Coach, that had you ringing my phone and giving them the pasting that you did?
You know what? Barca for a while now have, I don't like saying that, you know, players, the team depends on one player because, you know, I've always said when Barca were at their pomp, it wasn't just Messi, it was, you know, that midfield three and the whoever was Villa or Eto or Dino or whoever sitting next to him. Same thing with how Ronaldo and Madrid started winning Champions Leagues, when Casemiro, all that stuff. But literally without Ter Stegen and Messi, I genuinely don't know where Barca would be. If I'm being completely honest, I think they've been just as bad as Atletico Madrid this season. The difference being they've got Messi, and then once in a while, in 1 or 2 games, they'll find their feet and score 5 in a game. Like tonight, I guess, Legan. But this game, all their weaknesses were just brought to the table, and they were exposed from start to finish. 2 chances of note for Barca. Messi header where maybe he could have done better. I don't think it was that easy a chance. And a free kick that he hit straight at the keeper, which was palmed away. They were poor. Defensively, they're awful. The second goal was testament to that. Ferran Torres is running inside with the ball. All four defenders, in the Barca back line shift to him and leave Maxi Gomez, the striker, by himself to take a touch and finish it quite easily. It's just comedic. It's a joke, and they deserved what they got. But this has been waiting for. It's been happening for a long time. And I've always said a team is always due a slapping in a season. And you know, you're right. The scoreline flatters them. It should have been 4 or 5. 2-0 is too kind. But the performance was an absolute joke, whereas Valencia won the front foot from start to finish, defended excellently, and were great altogether.
Yep. Jan, are you going to crucify Barca as bad as that, or do you just think it was an off day?
They seem to have too many off days, Barcelona, for me this season. My point's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to divert away from the game. I'm going to be a little bit controversial and say, why did they sack Valverde?
There's numerous different things. I don't know, unless Valverde comes out and says himself, I don't think we're ever gonna know, because the fans don't like the football, don't they?
The fans here, it's the football. I've always said that Pep's era, and then Tito coming in before, obviously what happened to him, unfortunately. Because of that football and that style they got used to, any other style that is not as beautiful, I should say, as that doesn't work for the fans. And it was more a case of the fact that it was entertainment that was lacking, because he won trophies, he got accolades.
But that's my point. I mean, on what basis have they sacked him? The fact that they lost 3-2 to Atletico. I mean, if you're going to sack the manager, they should have done it after Anfield when they got battered 4-0.
Exactly.
That was the time to go. That was the time to say, you know what? That's not acceptable at this club to be winning 3-0 on the first leg and go out in the second leg.
Some fans,
of course, don't like that style of football, etc. That was the perfect opportunity to kick him out.
There you go.
But to do that in the middle of the season,
yeah,
you know, whilst it's them and Real Madrid going for the title, to bring in, you know, Sestien in, where has he really? For me, he's probably like another Solskjaer in the job. Has he really got the credential to manage Barcelona?
Well, he did okay at Betis, but then he got fired.
Solskjaer won the league in Molde. Shouldn't be United's manager.
Exactly, but you know.
Do you understand what I mean? Is on what credential do you get Sestien in? And then, you know, they were looking at Xavi as well. You know, all this kind of legend business and all that needs to go out the window. For me, the best person for the job should be the best candidate for the job, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So
they've gone for entertainment.
But for me,
Barcelona might not win the league this season because of disappointment.
That's what we're going to come to in a sec. But in regards to Valverde, as you said, obviously after the Liverpool game, but even people calling for his neck after the Roma. After they got knocked out by, Roma. Remember the previous year when obviously they were up.
Manolas scored.
Yeah, when Manolas scored the
header. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, when Manolas scored the header and that the brilliant Peter Drury commentary. So people were even saying it from there. But yeah, the style of football, as you said, Jan, wait until the end of the season. At the least, because you were top of the league, because it's such a weird timing. Or, as you said, they should have done it before the season even started. You let the season start, he's still top, and then you're going to ax him. Really, really bizarre one there. But yeah, there's so many different things coming out. And then they tried to offer the job to Xavi, didn't they? But Xavi said, out of respect, he doesn't want to take it now. To Valverde, so they've got Setien in. I'm not even going to lie, I don't even think I'd heard Setien's name before. But it does make you think, though. Obviously, he's still got a couple of years in him left, but when Messi goes, I don't know what the state of the club's going to be perfectly honest. Because Suarez is no spring chicken.
I completely agree. I'm with Coach on this one as well, in a sense of Ter Stegen and Messi kind of are keeping that team going. I mean, now with Suarez out for 4 months as well, you know, we all know, and Barcelona have always relied on Messi. We know that. I know that they've had great players to play alongside with him. But listen, Messi's the match winner. He's the one with the magic that can win you a game. But if you notify or try and keep Messi as quiet as you can, who else is going to score for Barcelona? Griezmann's not really done it since he's been there.
Nope.
Whoever plays in the wide area doesn't really do it. In midfield, they don't really score goals from midfield either. Was it going to be PK from corners?
PK Moa.
You know, it's like you struggle to see. Whilst on the other side, Real Madrid, they're not conceding any goals at all. And they've got firepower in midfield and up front to win your games.
Yep.
So, for me, Barcelona have taken a big gamble. And for their sake, it better not backfire. But for me now, I've got Real Madrid as favourites to win this league.
And that's a brilliant segue, Jan, because that was going to be what we're going to go to next. Real won.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Real, no, it's good. Real won 1-0 away at Valladolid through a late header from Nacho. They thought they'd taken the lead in the first half with a goal from Varane that was ruled out as he was rightfully given offside. But what I was going to ask you guys was, do you think that Zinedine Zidane has matured as a manager after the little sabbatical that he's had? Because though he won the three Champions League, which is an outstanding achievement that I don't think will ever be replicated, he won the league once in the 16-17 season in his first in there, but that was largely because of the fact he would rest Ronaldo constantly before big European games, and he got carried through by the likes of Lucas Vazquez and Morata and James and Isco. Has he now, with Ronaldo gone, this period here is making him a better manager, and he learnt during his time away how to balance the squad, how to manage the squad, and how to do things? Because as you said, Jan, Madrid have only let in 13 goals this season, and we're used to them battering everybody, but Down 39 is nowhere near the amount Barcelona has scored. It's still the second most in the league. So if you're tighter at the back with the individual talent that they have, has he learnt these lessons? Is he better equipped now to win this league title?
Is this for me, Dan, yeah?
Yeah, I
think so, bud. It's a different Real Madrid, of course, to what we knew with you know, Zidane's Ronaldo, etc. And don't forget, with Ronaldo as well, he hardly defended, didn't he? So, yeah. Real Madrid were always, you know, backwards and forwards and attacking, and, you know, players like Ronaldo and Bale, they don't really do a lot of kind of defensive duties. Whilst now, he's got... The team that he's got now, all right, you've got Benzema, but the players coming in are all young, they're all hungry, so they're all listening to Zidane's philosophy, to his methods. Whilst, if he had Ronaldo, of course, and Bale, he's not really going to tell Ronaldo and Bale to defend,
yeah,
is he? And if he does, do you think they're really going to listen? So, I think the fact now that he's got with his methods, and the players are, you know, are young and hungry and listen to his philosophy, he's getting the best out of the players that he's got. And, you know, as managers, as human beings, we all make mistakes. And I think he's learned that over the time of being a Real Madrid manager now, and he's getting the structure right. And, you know, and let's forget, you know, let's not forget, Courtois not had the best of seasons. Nope. Hazard hardly kicked the ball at Real Madrid. So if these players actually start finding their form and play to their capabilities that we know that they can, they're only going to get better.
This is it.
You know, and like I said, for me, and like I said before, like you asked the question, for me, Madrid are the favourites now to win this title.
It's looking like it, isn't it? It's looking like just a one defeat all season. Coach, what are you saying? We know what you think of Barcelona. What do you think about Madrid?
I'm with you. I'm impressed. And I think, remember when Zidane left, I think a lot of us obviously thought the reason was obviously because Ronaldo was going, and maybe we thought that he couldn't cope without Ronaldo, or that why is Ronaldo leaving kind of thing. But more and more as the season progresses and you look at how he's built the team, this is the first time I felt like they've got a manager where they've given control to the manager. Because, you know, past the Hazard signing, which is kind of like a Galactico, obviously, the signings like Rodrigo and Reinier, who's coming in very soon from Brazil, and Vinicius Junior, all these kind of signings, and yes, they are all from Brazil, but Perez did say, and not too long ago, that the roles will reverse between them and Barcelona. Not that they have the same youth system that Barca have with La Masia, but Barca will start spending a lot of money on the stars, and Madrid will start buying the young stars to make them into future stars for Real Madrid, because I feel like Zidane's now got that control to now say it's time to build for the future. Because he can say, when I had a strong midfield, a perfectly built midfield, a strong defence, and then obviously Ronaldo, Bale, Benzema up front, we won Champions Leagues. We won things. And that's how you build a team. So let me build, let me have my structure, and let us build currently as a team. And this is a young team, which I don't even think he expected to go and challenge for the league like that. Obviously, Barca still having Messi to make all the difference. But you can see how they're playing. And the winner, Valladolid, is only 1-0. But the fact is, over the last couple of years, they struggled to get results there. That's a big win. That helps confidence. Mm-hmm. When you go to a club, a place where it's considered your bogey team, and you don't usually get good results coming out of there, to come out there and win, take advantage of Barcelona losing, that's a big thing for Real Madrid. And this whole structure of the club is now, it's now strong, it's certified. They've got a manager who's allowed to take control, make his own decisions, and they go with it because he's won the chance of winning 3 Champions Leagues and La Liga in 3 years. You know, you can't fight him after that. You have to give him what he wants, and what he wants is bringing Real Madrid results. And like Jan said, Hazard joined Real Madrid unfit, overweight, he said it himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's hardly done anything this season. Courtois has been on and off. But if they hit top form at the right time in the title race, the title is going back to Real Madrid, no doubt. No doubt. Atletico Madrid are weak. Barcelona are weak. Really and truly, if they're going to be consistent and Madrid find consistency, who's getting near them? No one. So they just got to keep it up and keep with this philosophy. It's a good way to get Madrid going forward. Enough of the Galactico BS. build a team and win trophies.
Just one more thing I want to add. I think coach is spot on there, but Real Madrid have conceded 13 goals only this season. That's madness. That is astonishing for a club like Real Madrid. You know, we all associate Real Madrid of scoring 63 and conceding 52. You know, that's how usually they play their games. You know, they're entertaining, but there's a method now, there's a structure there. And to only concede 13 goals all season is a testament. I mean, if Atletico Madrid did that, we'll be raving about them, how defensively sound they are,
True.
So you've got to give credit to Real Madrid there for that. You've got to give credit to Zidane.
I think if Zidane can get the title this season now, because I've had a lot to say about him, despite obviously the three Champions Leagues in a row. And I know the likes of Guillaume Balague have said that he's more a good manager of players rather than, like, in terms of tactical, showing tactical nous and that. If he can win the league this season, though doesn't Barcelona not firing on all cylinders, I will have to quickly shut my mouth about some of the stuff.
One more thing I want to add, on Madrid. I don't know if people have noticed, but Sergio Ramos is not doing any more head loss behaviour anymore. I've noticed it this season in the sense of that, you know, even when they were winning games, you'll have this moment where he wants to do something crazy. The one time they were smacked this season was at PSG, and he wasn't there, and they struggled without him. He's coming for the team, he's showing a leadership, he's showing a calmness, and he's showing the defensive abilities that we all know he had, minus the red cards. So, you know, it's very important to keep these kind of guys in your team, and have him leading from the front. When you have a man like that leading from the front for the team to flourish, everything will go easy for you. So as long as he continues that as well, they should be able to keep clean sheets and getting W's.
There you go. Now, in regards to Atletico Madrid, they were leapfrogged by Getafe. Getafe jumped into fourth after they won 1-0 at home against Real Betis with an 89th minute penalty from Angel Rodriguez. Now, Atleti, who obviously have dropped to fifth, were held 0-0 at home by Legan. Is getting Diego Costa back fit what they need? Because though they're not scoring, they did make quite a few chances in this game.
No.
I said no straight away. You knew what the other part of the question was coming. And I said no straight away. It was like, no, hell no. Nah, negative.
I said no like 15 times, but I said no. No, get him gone and get Diego Simeone gone as well.
Ouch.
He needs a change.
It's time to go, man. It's time to go.
On what basis? On basis of this season?
It's time to go. You can see that as I think last week we were talking about the system being changed and obviously signing players like João Félix and Kieran Trippier, but they have there's much less of a defensive strong defensively, and they're trying to be more strong offensively, but the balance still isn't there. And I don't think he knows what to do with this team. I don't think he knows what to do with João Félix. I don't think he knows what to do with Morata. You contrast it to Conte signs Ashley Young, and where I'm sitting there thinking, what the hell has he signed Ashley Young for? First game, he's created an assist and had a great game.
Hey, slow down, we'll get to Serie A next, behave.
Oh, sorry, my bad. But this is the point, like, you know, I feel like he's gone all the way. Not that he's become a bad manager or a bad coach at any point. I just feel like right now it's time for him to change his surroundings, change your environment. I think it's become a bit stale there. I think Atletico Madrid have been found out. I think he's been found out. I think he needs to just go into a new club or maybe take a break away from the game, come back with fresh ideas, try and build something different, because he's trying to play the same system that he's played for how many seasons now, and it's not working, hence the poor results and the lack of goals that they have going up front. So, I don't think they are going to sack him. I think if he was to go, it will be on the court, but I just don't think it's working for him there anymore.
Ouch. Well, it's the Madrid derby coming up on Saturday.
Banker 0-0.
Yeah, now, did you know I was going to ask you what you think the score is going to be?
I'm counting
0-0.
I'll tell you this now. Let's move on.
You better get a bet down on it, Jan. Yeah.
1-0 Madrid. That's my prediction. Well, I mean Real Madrid.
Right, on that note. Incidentally, earlier, obviously, talking of that Valencia win over Barcelona, Coach, that was the first time your boys, Valencia, have beaten Barca at the Mestalla in 12 years. In the league, guys. 12 years, you know. Goodness me.
12 years is a long time, man.
Long time. Ready, Matt voice. Long time ago. Right. So, to Serie A. And for the first time this season, none of the teams in the top four won. The Rome derby on Saturday finished 1-1 between Roma and Lazio. Edin Dzeko gave Roma the lead with a header as Lazio keeper Strakowska came off his line and wasn't quick enough to gather Cristante's ball in, and Dzeko flicked it in with his head. Now, I don't know if you lot all saw this, but Lazio's equaliser was the stupidest goal that I saw on the weekend in any league, in any football I saw on the weekend. The corner came into the box. It got headed up into the air by Davide Santon towards his own goal. And instead of Roma keeper Paolo Lopez punching it out for a corner, he literally punched the ball straight back into the air. It hit the bar. Him and Chris Smalling, him and Smalling tried to deal with the ball, got in each other's way, and then a Serbi nicked in and equalised. It was absolutely pathetic. And
I knew Smalling would be in there.
It was absolutely, I had to watch it three times. I was in stitches. And the funny thing as well was that bar a Milinkovic-Savic shot, Lazio didn't do anything in the game. It was all Roma. Like, a bag of saves made by Strakowska to deny Dzeko a couple of times. Pellegrini hit the post for Roma in the first half, and then obviously he made two more saves from Dzeko in the second half. So that stopped Lazio's winning run at 11 games. Inter Milan also drew 1-1 with Cagliari, and again, you had the continuing theme of former players or players on loan scoring against their clubs, because Nainggolan got the late equaliser to cancel out Lautaro Martinez's goal. A deflected late drive, and Nainggolan had some very harsh words for Inter, saying that like they slacked off and took us for minors, etc. But the problem, what made those results even worse, is that Juventus were beaten 2-1 by Napoli in what was called the media or the social media force team. Sarri started Dybala, Cristiano Ronaldo and Higuain all up three together, and he's not done that too much this season. But Juventus, again, just like Lazio, well, Juventus were battered here. 2-1 flattered them. Napoli had a pack of chances. They finally took the lead in the second half with a goal from Zielinski after Szczęsny did poorly from a long-range shot from Insigne and basically pushed it straight back out to Zielinski. As a keeper, you've always got to push that away from the goal. Insigne made it 2-0 with a good volley from Callejon's cross. The replay showed it took a little slight deflection off of
Delete. Slight deflection.
Yeah, off Delete, didn't it? Yeah. Because at first I thought, oh, that's wonderful. It was a good volley, but little deflection. And then Cristiano pulled one back to score for his 8th game in a row. Meret again should have done better. It wasn't a great weekend for goalkeepers. But have Inter and Lazio, Lazio have still got their game in hand, mind you, but have they missed a big opportunity here not winning their games with Juventus losing
huge,
unexpected to Napoli, because
huge,
Napoli have been crap this season.
They're not losing any more than 2 or 3 games this season in Juventus, if we're being completely honest. This loss actually surprised me. I'm surprised at how bad Juventus were, because Napoli have been shocking this season. But yeah, you're right. What you said about Szczęsny, I know we asked him about the teams and if they've missed a chance, but Szczęsny was appalling. Absolutely appalling. Finding his Arsenal form. Shout out Arsenal.
Coach always got to get his Arsenal pops in.
you know how it goes. But but I think they missed a big opportunity here. The title race is still close, but we all know even
that's like the most consistent out of the three teams. Yep. So, you know, unless you're going to lose form in a crazy way and lose like three or four more games, I don't see them losing the title race to any of the other two.
Regarding what I'll tell you what, Lazio for me is a point gained. The reason why I say that is who were they were playing.
Yeah, because who they played and the fact they were outplayed.
They didn't deserve to win. They're playing their biggest rivals, their arch rivals, their proper enemies. So to get a point, it's not a bad result.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you two, but I love proper derbies. And I'm talking about hatred proper derbies. Like a Lazio, you know, like a Celtic Rangers where there's no love loss. It's not, you know, you see a Celtic fan in the Rangers end, etc. No. None of this rubbish. These are the kind of derbies that I love watching, you know, where the passion is there. There's a lot at stake. And like I said, for me, Lazio, to get a point when they didn't play well against their enemies, especially how the results went, for me, that's a point gain. For Inter, it's 2 points drop, of course. You know, they're at home. They should be... The problem with Inter, they're drawing too many games.
Third draw in a row, Jan. What's going on?
I mean, you're better off losing one and winning two and gaining the points. I know, you know, you don't want to lose games of football, but draws ain't going to win your titles.
There you go.
As simple as that. Juventus. Now, we spoke about Juventus last week. And again, I've got this complete... Mate, I've had a nightmare of predictions since our show last week. But I'm going to stick to what I said about Sarri. The players are going to win the league for Juventus, not Sarri. Yeah. And I know, of course, the players are all the ones on the pitch that get the results. But you know what I mean? When managers, like Ferguson. Ferguson will win a title for United because he's got the know-how.
Yeah.
You know, Klopp with Liverpool this season, Guardiola, blah, blah, etc. Sarri has never been there. He's never done it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why Juve are going to win it this year, like I said, in my opinion, is because of the players. It's not that Sarri is going to do anything spectacular for Juve to win. And again, in a game like that, I mean, even when Napoli were good, they weren't beating Juventus. So the fact Napoli have been, like Colt said, Napoli have been absolutely shocking from on the pitch to off the pitch this season. They've been in a club in disarray. So to beat Juve in the manner that they did shows to me that the... I don't know if this is the right word, but the lack of experience Sarri has in a title kind of situation, if that makes sense. Because, you know, you can go and get a point at Napoli, move on, but they lost. And the fact that the results, you know, with the other two not winning, was actually not much of a disaster. And I actually can see Juve losing a few more games now to the end of the season because...
If they defend like that, they're going to, mate.
Yeah, they will. I don't trust Sarri. You know, Sarri's got one way of playing football. Hasn't got another method.
Yeah.
And go back to what Coach said about Simeone. Simeone, for me, is backdated. I think he needs to change his ideas. He's becoming that Mourinho type of mold now where...
Yeah, where he's been so successful with one style that...
Yeah.
I hear that.
You know, Simeone is you know, he the football that they're playing, you know, is boring, is negative, is too defensive. You know, everybody now plays with this, you know, out the back, etc. Simeone hoops the ball upfield and he gets everybody forward. That's his style. It's like, he needs to change his methods. Anyway, we've gone back to La Liga, but Juventus eventually, for me, will win the title. But they need to be careful while Sarri is there.
I hear that 100%. But it is good, considering, we look at the Prem and we see the way Liverpool are running away with it. It is good to be able to look at the fact that Juventus only 3 points ahead of Inter. And they've still got to play again this season. Lazio only 2 points behind Inter, and obviously with a game in hand, so could close the gap on Juve to 2 points. But then little gap over, obviously, Roma, 7 points behind. That's why the derby was a must win for Roma. But we go to the team in fifth, and the reason why we have to go to the team in fifth, Atalanta, is because, as Jan said last week, they're the top scorers in Serie A, but they now are the top scorers by 10 goals from Lazio, because they went to Torino and slapped them 7-0. I couldn't couldn't believe.
I thought Torino played well today.
I couldn't believe that. And I was just about to say, before the second sending off, Torino weren't actually that bad. But Atalanta were just so clinical. The first goal, Pelamino put in one of the best tackles I've seen this season. And that's a centre-half. And then he played in a great ball. Like, the tackle was a centre-half tackle, but the ball in was one of an attacking midfielder for Ilicic to give Atalanta the lead. But Ilicic's second goal, the fourth goal, oh my God.
Are you talking about the free kick from
halfway? Yeah, the free kick. The ref blew, right, to say free kick. And why was Sirigu that far off his line? He was basically almost on the edge of the box. And he's just hit it, Ilicic, from the edge, from the halfway line. It's gone straight into the top corner. Oh, my days. But, yeah, as I said, Torino finished with nightmare. But Atalanta are just... And Ilicic normally takes the pens, but let Duvan Zapata take it to get his first goal back after coming back. He'd been out for a few months with an injury. They are taking the mickey, Atalanta. And remember, obviously, they crept through in the last game, through to the knockout stages of the Champions League. Have Roma got good reason to be worried about holding on to fourth the way these guys are going?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. When you got a team that are renowned for scoring goals week in, week out, then of course, you know, I mean, again, going, I don't want to criticise managers again, but what Gasperini's done at Atalanta, the style of football, the attacking flair, for me as a neutral, you know, they're wonderful to watch.
Best team to watch in that league.
And
have been for a couple of seasons. Lazio scored a lot of goals as well, but the way Atalanta play with the wing backs, it's just full throttle, man.
No, absolutely. And to be fair, they've had two fixed results in Italy in the last 2 weeks, losing to Spal and then 7-0 wins in Torino. You can't get more fixed results than that, really, if you ever hear about match fixing in Italy, look at the two results in the last week.
No.
But of course, Roma, got to be worried as well, because, like I said, a team that scores goals freely and openly every game, who go at teams' faults, are always going to be dangerous. So, no, they're a joy to watch, Atalanta, they really are.
Coach, it is a great I say achievement, they've not won anything yet, but the fact that Zapata was their top scorer in the league last season, he's been injured for basically the whole of this season, and you're putting up almost 3 goals a game, this is insane.
It is absolutely insane. It's actually quite mad, the consistency of popping goals like that. I mean, the last things I remember doing that were the crazy teams of Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Yep.
On a consistent basis, and then I think City were doing that for a while when they got the 100 points, didn't they? So, yeah, it's in that league, which nowhere's great defensively, but it's quite tough over there to just go and slap goals anyhow. And they've found a good consistency and they're running with it, so I'm quite impressed by what they're doing. And to be honest, for me, long may it continue. Like you two have said, you know, it's the style of football, it's the way they are attacking teams, it's the way they are passing the ball around, and they're keeping clean sheets. You're hitting 7 and not conceding. I mean, you know, that's adding to how impressive you are as a team. So, yeah, hopefully they can continue in that vein of form.
It's the bravery of the manager as well, isn't it?
Yep.
He's not got a Barcelona or Real Madrid where he's got attacking players or great players that, you know, he's got an Atalanta team that attack. You know, he's not scared to go away to Juventus and attack and go wild attack. For me, that's bravery.
Yep, they played Inter a few weeks ago, yeah, and don't finish 1-1. They played Inter off the pitch for like 70 minutes of the game.
They don't care about reputation as in who you are. It's like, all right then, you're 11 players, we're 11 players, we're going to come attack you, we're going to beat you, we're going to outscore you, you know? So the manager has got to take a lot of credit. And also, they followed that up in the Champions League as well. An inexperienced team who've never played in the Champions League to get through the group stages, you know, they haven't got the squads of a Real Madrid or a Barcelona or a Liverpool, etc. You know, they work on a tight budget and what they can do for that club. And, you know, they're a proper team, and Gasperini deserves a lot of credit. If you want to talk about kind of manager of the year and etc., usually the team that wins the league, usually the manager gets the credit, etc. But Gasperini, for me, should be a candidate or win manager of the year in Italy for me.
There you go, man.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, they've just been a breath of fresh air for a couple of seasons now, but they're it's just crazy. As you said, that spell result, otherwise they'd be fine away in fourth. That was ridiculous. Messed up my accumulator, but we won't even get into that. If I start talking about accumulators, we'll be here all day. Right. So over to the Bundesliga to round up our leagues. Now, obviously, me and Jan have said we want them to win the league, but Leipzig were beaten 2-0 by Eintracht Frankfurt. Armani Traore smashed one in at the start of the second half for 1-0, and then Filip Kostic crept in to seal the win in the fourth minute of injury time with a close-range goal, nipping in past the keeper. With Bayern smashing Schalke 5-0, is this like up now? Because you know you've always got to keep that distance over Bayern. And last season I kept on saying, Dortmund are going to do it, Dortmund are going to do it. And then Bayern got closer than it was a wrap. Is this, though, it's only the end of January? Have they, like, basically thrown their chances away?
Wrong. Bayern finding form at the right time is not going to help anybody in that league, and I love it. me personally, I love it. But to be honest, I think if it's not going to be them, it might be Dortmund because of the Haaland signing. I mean, he's a very good poacher, and he knows how to score goals. Mm. And they genuinely the only team I think that can give Bayern a problem. I mean, I know Leipzig have started very well, as have Gladbach as well, to be fair. Got a decent result in the last couple of weeks. Last couple of weeks. But it's going to end up in Munich again. And I'm very much here for it.
Coach, that's continuity. Right. Jan, Leipzig, we were singing their praises last week, but they caught one. Obviously, Frankfurt are a decent team, but they've been very inconsistent this season. Obviously, losing, that's what, 50 goals worth for strikers in Jovic and Haller. But yeah. They've got Bastos in, who's been top scorer in the Bundesliga before. So, in terms of what the team have done in the last few years, it's not the worst thing to lose to Frankfurt, but the timing couldn't have been worse, could it?
No, of course, it's never a good time to lose anyway. I'm just going to go back to last week, boys. I mean, if we've got first-time listeners, if they heard my predictions from last week, they're going to go, this Yannick is going, I don't know what he's talking about. They're going to be like, just get him off the show. What's he on about? You know, I was talking about Leipzig, they get beat. Den Haag, they get beat. Juve, they get beat. Come on. Like, can't get any worse, can it? Don't ask me for any predictions this week because I'm not saying that. You know, I want to get back on the show next week, so I'm not. Listen, Frankfurt is always a difficult place to go. They turned over Bayern quite convincingly earlier on in the season. You know, they've beaten Leipzig, so they're always going to be a threat. Frankfurt. I'm going to sound like a broken record, but Bayern winning it this year probably will go down to experience. The fact that Leipzig have not been there before to do it, you know? And is their squad big enough to cope with the demands until the end of the season? I'm not too sure. I mean, I love Leipzig to win it. You know, they're an underdog. You know, they're the most hated team in Germany. And I like the fact that they can win it just to rub a few noses. I'm like that. I like a bit of controversy, as you lot know. So, it'll be nice. I mean, Bayern winning every year is it's getting boring, the Bundesliga. It's like a bit like Celtic winning it every year. So, you know, a change of someone winning it, it's a breath of fresh air. It's good. But ultimately, Bayern now, you can see the stars are starting to turn up now. Lewandowski scoring nearly every week. They're keeping clean sheets. They're banging in 4 and 5. And let's face it, Schalke are having a decent season this year. So if you can do that to Schalke, you know, they can do that to anyone. They can blitz anybody. So, you know, Leipzig need to get a momentum. Dortmund with Haaland there. They're picking up results. So can they maintain it? Can they sustain it? I'm not too sure. I never trust Dortmund. So fraud, but for me, it's either buying a Leipzig, but probably buying, well, not probably, probably ultimately they're going to win it.
You know, the thing is, Jan, about Bayern is that obviously they've been a good run of form, but they haven't got a head coach at the moment. They're defensively, this is the worst I've seen Bayern Munich in a while, but because, again, they're the highest scorers in the league, the amount of goals they're scoring is pushing them on. And as you said, to do that to Schalke, before that 5-0, Schalke had the best defence in the league.
That's what I'm saying.
So to go 5-0, well, statistically, like, anyway, you know, well, in terms of goals conceded, so to go beat them 5-0, but I'm just faulty, but it's nice to see a tight Bundesliga this deep in, because usually it's just two teams, or it's just Bayern. Leipzig on 40 points, Bayern now on 39, Gladbach, who were top for a while, on 38 now, Dortmund 36. Leverkusen on 34, considering who Leverkusen have lost, doing okay. Not scoring as many goals as they have in previous seasons, but they're still up there. They've only let in 22 goals. And then obviously Schalke in sixth, David Wagner doing a decent job so far. But is it up for Leipzig, coach?
No, it's not up for Leipzig. No, yeah, there's still a long way to go. Like, for me, it's just about the consistency and what Jan said about the experience. It's the experience that can be so key for you, Bayern, at the right time, finding the right form, knowing what to do to get results without a head coach. So if they find a head coach to come in that is correct for the team, they're only going to go from strength to strength. So it's about finding the right cohesion, finding the right lineup, finding what can work for the squad, what can work for your team, and if they find it, don't run away with it again. But you know, like you said, it's good to have a tight league like this, because Bundesliga, you know, I think a league like League One would benefit from that also, because you always know Paris Saint-Germain are going to run away straight away after like game 10. So, you know, for us to have a tight league like that is exciting to watch. And yeah, it's good. But I think, well, how many games have they played so far this season?
Only 19, because they only play 34 games in Bundesliga, because it's only 18 teams.
Okay, I would have to say by game 27, we'll have a clearer picture of Bayern first, and then everyone else fighting for second.
I hear that's a good point. In regards to Dortmund over in fourth, day one on Friday night, with a 5-1 they won, didn't they? Another two goals for Erling Haaland. So he has 5 goals in 59 minutes of football. I did say to my cousins, they thought I was a madman at a time when the transfer came. I reckon that he'll get to 15 goals. He's a third, of, even though it's only half a season. He's already a third of the way there.
Haaland hasn't scored 5 goals in 5 years, I don't think.
But we don't do this link, I think.
It just shows the level, doesn't it?
Lingard gets ripped on a European pod. There's no hiding.
we don't have to do this Lingard thing, man. you're right, but you know, you don't have to say it.
Hey, boys, you don't know me, I'll say how I feel.
Yeah, it's true. That is good. It's good. But, you know what, dude? I'm not going to go on too much, because you guys know how, you know my feeling about this league and how it's been for a long time. And I've said it on my podcast, this podcast, Should Be Defence with Still. I've said it on the DD 40 Factory. I've said it on so many podcasts. The Bundesliga sucks. Defensively, it's the worst league in Europe, in my opinion. I don't care if I haven't watched any, Turkish league or Cypriot league or Portuguese league. I don't care. It is shocking. It is an absolute disgrace. And him scoring 5 goals in, 50-something minutes just pretty much shows exactly what I've been talking about. So that's my 2 pence.
They've still been good finishers, though, coach, man. In the first match, he controlled it, he ran through, slid one in the bottom corner. In this match on Friday in the 5-1 win over Cologne, he scored a goal from an impossible angle. He just sidefooted into the goal like it was nothing. We've still got
to make it look so easy.
Yeah, man. We've still got to give ratings to the finish, coach.
His finishing is so damn good. Like, as a player, I have no issue with him, because his finishing is phenomenal.
Yep.
Like, that finish, the fact it was so casual, even, like, from that angle is a joke in itself. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just, it's like play at the park with your boys, you know, you don't really care. So you just kick it and you just win. He's like, oh yeah, okay, win, they're fantastic. You know, my boy calls him Drago from, what's it called? Rocky. it's the whole point of, you know, you have to make it as difficult as possible for your opponent to score. And the only difficulty I find is him making it difficult for himself to score because he can.
I'll tell you what surprises me a little bit, boys. Going away from Haaland a little bit. The fact that they sold Alcacer to Villarreal.
I was just about... Brilliant, Jan, because I was just going to touch on that. Last season, though Alcacer was scoring a lot of goals off of the bench for Dortmund, everyone was saying that it's because of the lack of frontmen. So you get a frontman in Haaland, and then you let Alcacer go. I thought they were looking to, at a stage, pair them together, because they get goals from Brandt, they get goals from Royce, Sancho anyway. Sancho, another goal and assist, and that's what, 11 goals and 11 assists now. But you've let him go. So if Haaland gets injured, you're back to the square one.
I mean, the two reasons I think that he decided to go, I mean, he was starting from start of the season banging in goals. So unless he's homesick and maybe he wanted to fancy going back to Spain, or the fact he's falling out with the coach. I mean, I can't think of a reason why. I mean, didn't he get injured at a certain period that he was out of the team?
Yeah, he got injured.
So he was starting, scoring goals, he got injured, got back in the team, they signed Haaland, of course, and then sold him. I mean, bizarre. I mean, especially if you're going, you know, they're still in Europe, they've still got a chance for the title. Why would you not bring in Haaland and have Alcacer as well as a strong unit up front with Royce and your Sanchos and... It doesn't make sense. It's a bit bizarre.
My thinking exactly, Jan, because last season when Alcacer got injured, they were playing Götze at a stage as a false nine. And I remember watching them lose to Nuremberg. And it's because they had, like, there's no one to shoot. Götze, though he's been a brilliant player, even back in his first stint at Dortmund, he was never a prolific goal scorer. Regard in terms of his position. So and that's what derailed their championship. So I'm just worried that with selling Alcacer, coach, that... basically, you're putting yourself back in that position. Any form of injury. Because remember, they were flying. They played Tottenham last season. And then Royce and Alcacer were out injured. And they were their top two goal scorers. And then they got blazed away in the second half of the first against Tottenham. When they'd been the better team. Pulisic was running rings around Tottenham's defence. They're leaving themselves in the position again to be exposed, I think, with injuries.
Yeah, you're right. It's stupid. I mean... I've always said the title winners from every league from most leagues, the competitive leagues, the top five leagues in Europe, I'll say, they've always had depth. You don't just have one striker that leads you to everything. You have two or three in a squad. Even three. You have three in the squad where you can say if one goes, the other one comes in. If the other one doesn't come in, you either play the third one or you makeshift, maybe put someone up front instead for a couple of games just to compensate. You know, it's about building a squad to win titles. And, you know, if Haaland was to get injured now and Götze's the one to go up front again, the goal threat is, you've gone from a high goal threat to a very minimal goal threat. And that's the difference between a team trying to win a title and a team that's more serious about winning the title, you know. So, it's very baffling to get rid of Paco because I know he hasn't been in the best of form this season, but he knows where the goal is, he knows how to score goals. So you don't sell your goal scorer to bring in another goal scorer. You bring in a goal scorer on top of a goal scorer, and that helps you win and compete for the league. And that's another reason why I think Bayern will win it, because Bayern, I feel like, are the only club that do that. They're ruthless enough to go to other clubs in Germany and say, I'm coming for your player. Them and Dortmund are the two best teams in the league. So why can't Dortmund go to the other team and say, I'm coming for your player? Show some authority, show some discipline and be serious. It's not about just trying to play football here and there and, you know, be stuffy at the back, but you score more than you can see that when you go to the top, whereas you get messed about with, you can score at the square one. You know, you have to be serious. If you're not serious, it's going to be the same cycle over and over. And that's why Bayern are finding it so easy to win titles.
No, I agree. I'm just going to add on that as well. If you're going to rely on Mario Götze, then you've got problems. Honestly, he's got to be one of the most overrated, overhyped players I've seen in a generation of football. I mean, all right, he scored the winner in the World Cup final. What's he done since?
Absolutely nothing.
What did he do before that?
He had one absolutely very, very, nothing. Very, very bad injury. It was career-threatening at a stage. But as you're saying, outside of that, when he first looked at Dortmund, obviously in terms of his age, he looked very, very good. But as you said, since leaving there, what exactly has he done outside of the injury?
Nothing. Absolutely.
He don't
nothing.
Score. He don't create. I don't see. You know, he's not strong. He's not as influential as he was in his younger days. Maybe that's the fact that Dortmund struggle every year when they got players like that. They need to evolve. I mean, you know, I don't want to sound boring. I'm not going back to United, but if you've got Lingard and Pereira, you're only going to go backwards. If you're going to carry on having Götze in your team and you're not going to evolve and get better, you're not going to get any better, are you? That's what Bayern Munich do every year.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
exactly. And that's what Coach said. They'll go to Dortmund and go, "Oh, Hummels, yeah, he's a good player. Yeah, I love him." You know, Lewandowski is your best striker, is he? Yeah, yeah, I love him.
Yeah, and this is the thing. How can Dortmund are so stupid? Like, in terms of they bought Götze from you, Götze didn't work out, so you went and bought him back after he left you for free.
But Hummels is back there as well now.
They used Hummels' best years and said, "Oh, you're done now. Okay, take him back." I mean, come on. You're not going to... That's a joke. That's bad. That's what I'm talking about. I won't be surprised if they go and sign Jerome Boateng next. You know? It's stupid. It's honestly really stupid.
Oh.
I agree 100%.
Brilliant. Right, let's leave it there then, because before we absolutely run Dortmund into the ground, they somehow hear about this and we derail their season and it gets blamed on us.
I'll tell you what, boys, do you know who'll be happy hearing about this still? Because he absolutely
hates them. Yeah, he Fraudman, he calls them, innit?
If me and Stell didn't know each other and then we were talking about football randomly and then one of us said, "Oh, I hate Dortmund," I think we'd become like the best of friends.
He can't stand them.
I hate that club, man.
Man said they're a hipster club.
Listen, but the joke is, yeah, people are buying their black kit because it looks nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you not noticed that? Have you not seen it like on Twitter and Facebook and things like that, where people just, maybe your friends or random people go, "Yeah, I just bought a Dortmund kit, even though I don't support them because I like the kit."
Yeah. People did that with Nigeria's kit as well, didn't they?
What's that all about? I'm too fanatic about United, though. I don't know. I just don't get it.
Fraudman, I think you guys are making me choke. I think you guys have got the name of the pod there. So, yeah, so we'll leave it there for this week's European roundup. Guys, if you could just leave the listeners, please, with your Twitter handles where they can find you.
Yannick is Jay.
There you go.
And Free Me Phil from a podcast and my personal wild coach, Koja.
And mine is at double D, that's DUBULDEE, and I am part of the D&D Football Factory, and is at DD40Factory_, obviously, as well as being here for Shoot the Defence. So thank you very much, people, for listening. That is it for this week's European Roundup. And as Jan said, do not put money down on any of these predictions. Thank you very much, people. We are out.